Thank you for tuning in to the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple podcast. My name is Carlos Navarrete, and I'm the lead pastor. Our goal is to magnify God through His Word, and we pray that you'll be drawn closer to Jesus through this message. If this message is a help to you, we would greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review and subscribe. And most importantly, please share with friends through social media to help us spread God's Word. Now here's today's message. Take your Bible. Let's go to 1 John. We're in a series we've titled God with Us. We're learning what it means that God came to us, that God came to earth. So many people celebrate and yet don't understand. And I pray that today we will appropriate the love of God that He showed to us by coming. Interestingly, as you read the Christmas story, there is a word that you won't find much, if at all, in the Christmas story. I dug this week and could not find the word love anywhere mentioned. Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, it's just not there. Interestingly, it's not in the hymns. We sing of a silent night, of light of the world, and we'll look at that in a minute, but I think in Joy to the World, it says something about love's pure light, but that's about it. And you know, what's interesting is that love is not mentioned, and yet we all understand it doesn't mean it's not part of the story. In fact, we understand, I think, that it is the motive. God's love is the motive behind sending His Son. God's motive is the environment in which the story of Christmas takes place. And so we come to 1 John, and this is written by John the Apostle. How many of you remember John, right? John came to be known as John the Beloved, John the Apostle of Love. But he wasn't always known that way. Way back when Jesus called them, the Bible says he and his brother, if you remember that, James and John were known as the sons of thunder, all right? I shouldn't have said that. Somebody's going to say a bad word, all right? Don't say, be careful. Sons of thunder. You know what that means? They were fiery guys, literally angry. The Bible says one time Jesus was preaching and some people rejected him. And by the way, it still happens today. And the Bible says that they said, Lord, let us call some fire down. Let's see some rotisserie juice. Wouldn't that be great? What loving people they were, right? Isn't that loving? The Bible says that they just said, let's just call some fire down from heaven. That'll take care of them. And the Bible, of course, tells us here, as we read in 1 John, there's something I want you to understand. John was changed. How many of you are glad that's true, by the way? That somebody who is before God angry, and that's what the Bible tells us, by the way. Before God, we are selfish. Then we get saved, and the Holy Spirit makes us selfless. Before God, the Bible says we are, egotistical. We are simply greedy. Afterwards, we can be generous. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit can do, and we want to learn about that today. John was changed, and now he's the apostle of love. And he talks about the coming of Jesus in such a powerful way. And he nails it in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9. He tells us why Jesus came. He gives us many reasons. In fact, just go with me through the book. Would you do that just for about 30 seconds here? Notice in verse 1 and verse 2, he says that life was manifested, he says there in chapter 1 and verse 2. In other words, one of the reasons Jesus came, the word manifested literally means appeared. He came to show us life and give us life. I told you this last week, right? He who hath the Son hath life. Notice in chapter 3 and verse number 5, we're going to look at this next week, but I'll give you a sneak preview, spoiler alert, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. How many of you are glad he came to take away our sins? You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to pay for your sins. Jesus Christ came to take away our sins. Notice in chapter 3 and verse 8, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Why did Jesus come? That he might destroy the works of the devil. By the way, if you're saved, here's another reason he came, to destroy the work of the devil. You don't have to keep sinning. You don't have to be defeated by your sin. This is good news. Notice in chapter number 4 now, in verse number 9, the fourth reason, and here's where we're going to be today. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. That's why we're here. He was manifested. The Bible says that the love of God was expressed. That means showed towards us in that God sent his Son. Now the time has come, I believe, if ever there's been a time when God's people need to grow and mature in their love, this is the time. Folks, we are living in difficult days. And yet if you're here and you're alive and you're a Christian, you need to recognize that life is a school. We're in the school of faith. And God wants to teach us about his love, I believe, this morning. God wants us to understand his love. And I pray, I have been growing, I pray that I've been growing in this area of love. I've never been so convicted in my life. And even this week as I studied, of God's love to me, first of all, and then God's love through me, how he wants to love through me. I know as parents, we pray our children with love, you know, the right things. And it's amazing to me that people will come to church and understand and know the right theology and do all the right things and yet not be loving people. They don't change. They're still angry. They're still fighting. They're still bickering. They're still gossiping. There's still such division sometimes. Folks, I'm just here to tell you, God says that the greatest sign of our maturity is that you love. You love. Now, many of us right now, we're saying, I don't think you understand. I wasn't brought up that way. My dad wasn't a loving fella. My mom wasn't around. I was abused. I was neglected. I was rejected. My husband left me. My dad, you know, didn't hug me. I don't know what that means. I'm a construction worker. I'm a Irish, you know, whatever it is that you've got. And all of a sudden, we've got this shallow idea of love, and we have this cup that's empty, and we kind of come and we say, no, I don't think I can do that, Pastor. And listen, I'm just here to tell you, we're not talking about shallow, romantic. This love we're talking about today, it's from heaven. It's not from Hollywood. It's from your heavenly Father, not your earthly Father. Listen, everybody can have it. This God life, it's not even brotherly love, like we're all bros and we all go to lunch after church together. This is deeper than that. It's agape love, the Bible says. It is sacrificial, real, the Bible says. It is passionate and compassionate. It is godly. It's powerful. It makes a difference. And I'm praying that if we understand these truths today, we will change. At the end of this passage, he tells us that there's many people living in fear today and living in anger. And I'm here to tell you, more than ever, I see that. There's such fear on their people are afraid of the past, the present, the future. And I'm telling you, why live in fear when you can live in love? Why live in anger when you can live in love? God says it's possible. Now, here's four basic truths I want you to learn this morning. And I pray the Holy Spirit will help us to allow them, to seal them into our hearts, because this is why Jesus came. Notice number one, God, the Bible says, wants us to understand what he is, what God is. And he wants you to know, and John says it this way, that God is love. The first lesson is what God is. God is love. We learn that in verses 7 and 8. Would you read it with me, please? I want you to read your Bible this morning. You learn if you read your Bible. Beloved, John says, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, watch this, knoweth not God. For God is, say it, love. Over and over again. He repeats it in verse 16. God is love. And he says here, I want you to understand, the Bible defines God in many ways. It defines God, for example, in John 4, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You remember that? You know what that means? That when the Bible gives us those statements there so that we understand about God. They don't understand, they don't explain God completely, but they tell us what God is. So God is a spirit. You know what that means? He's not confined to body, time. He's not confined to space like you and I. God is a spirit. The Bible says that God is light, for example, over there in John chapter 1. In 1 John 1, we read last week, God is light. You know what that means? That speaks of the holiness of God. Interesting. Light cannot be contaminated. You can muddy water, but you can't dirty light. It's perfectly pure. Light always overcomes darkness. If you have a dark room and you turn the lights on, you know what happens? The darkness are gone. They dissipate. How many of you are glad that our God is holy? And he can have victory over the darkness. There's no, the Bible says, pollution in him. There's no shadow of turning, the Bible says, in our God. There's an awesome statement in Hebrews chapter 12, and it says this, that God is a consuming fire. Isn't that an awesome statement? He's a consuming fire. You know what that means? That God judges. He's just. He doesn't just overlook sin. The Bible says, deals with sin. Now, that's bad news for us, but here's our hope tonight and this morning. I want you to remember this. God is love. Our hope is that, yes, he's a consuming fire, but he is also love. And you know what? That means that God can remain totally holy, but at the same time, and yet the Bible says somehow connect this truth to this truth. He can be totally holy and yet love us and want to save us and be able to do that and forgive us of our sins. And here's the good news. The Bible says that God is love. Now, that doesn't mean that all love is of God. Let me just rephrase it here. It doesn't mean that all love comes from God. People, you know, out there say, well, love is love. And that's true. But you realize not all love is godly love. Not all love comes from God. There's some things I love that I shouldn't love. Now, before you judge me, there's some things you love you shouldn't love. Amen. Some of you are in a chocolate binge these last weeks or two. Amen. Listen, you know, whether it's food or pleasure or, money, whatever it is, greed, materialism, sex, drugs, something you smoke, whatever you put before God, whatever you serve more than God, whatever you listen to more than God, whatever you think of more than God is an idol. So not all love is of God, but God is love in his totality. Everything he does, whatever he says, it's from a loving heart. Whatever he does, it's from a loving heart. Whatever, even when he judges from love. Now, there's a lot that we need to understand this morning, but here's the first lesson. God is love. We need to learn, the Bible says, and mature in this area of knowing love, because the Bible says this, he that knoweth God, the Bible says, knoweth love, because love is of God. If you want to relate to God, in other words, you need to be, the Bible says, like he is. You need to be loving. Now, that poses a problem for me. Does anybody else feel like that's a problem for you? Anybody here, right? One honest person, everybody else is like, I got love down, all right? Okay, then, for the rest of you, just humor us then. Because I go, you know, I need to mature. I'm not always a loving guy. I really need to grow in this area of love. And that's a problem. And so the Bible says this, in order for us to relate to God, something's got to change in me. And the Bible says it's got to change in you. Now, here's the good news. I want you to read verse 10. The Bible says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son. And all God's people said, hallelujah, amen. Aren't you glad that's true? Because the Bible says there's good news, but I want to get to that in a minute. But naturally, the Bible says we don't think about God. We don't think about others. We love ourselves, the Bible says. And so this is a problem. We don't love other people. And people, you know, somebody's sitting here and you're going, oh, yes, I do. You know, I may not be religious, but I love my mama and I love my friends and I love my buddies. And I know people in the world, they love their friends and they love their mama too. That's true. Let me tell you something. That's still self. Jesus, the Bible says, was telling the disciples one day, hey, the world loveth his own. In other words, people in the world love their mother. You know, there's this movement today in the Christian realm right now that says, my ministry is my children for moms. And that's normally, that's an excuse, you know, for people who don't ever want to leave the house and go serve anybody outside their house. And you know what that really is? That's foolish. Because that's your duty, ma'am. But let me tell you something. You want to serve God, you got to step outside of that hole, because even unsaved people love their kids. God says, you may be sitting here going, oh, no, I love people. No. There is natural love that the world has. We're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about a deeper love. We're talking about a love. The Bible says that my Savior came and he died not just for his friends. He died for his enemies. The world loveth his own, the Bible says, but we're talking about a love that we don't understand. And so I wish in 1 John we could almost just, in our minds, think when the Bible says love there, just say real love. 29 times in 1 John, the Bible speaks of love, and it tells us very clearly that's what love is. God is love. That's what God is. And my reaction, I don't know about you, my reaction is I look at that and I say, well, I can't love like God. How will I ever get to God then if I can only know him through love? Well, here's the good news. Are you ready? Here's the second truth. And we already read it, but here's the good news. God came to us. God showed us his love. Notice what God did. God sent his son. Now notice, read in verse 9 with me, and I pray the Holy Spirit will help us now this morning to understand this truth. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here's the first truth. God is love. Here's the second truth. And here's what God did. God sent his son. Now, you're not very excited about it now, because I know what you're thinking. And folks, listen to me. We have such a wild definition of love today. If we were to go back through the ages, you know, let's go back to the Old Testament. You talk to an Old Testament Jew and you'd say, hey, listen, do you believe in God? They'd say, oh yeah, we believe in Jehovah God. Oh really? And does your God love you? Yeah, oh yeah.
How do you know if your God loves you? Oh, well, he said in the law that if he'll send rain and we'll have crops, and he'll keep the locusts away, and he'll keep the enemies away, and my children will have, in fact, my wife will have lots of children. She won't be barren. That's what he says. If God, that's what our God does, if he loves us. How many of you have read that in the Old Testament, right? You go, you know, fast forward to the times of Christ. You stop a Roman centurion. Hello, sir. Yes, can I speak to you? Yeah, sure. This is the highest person in the Roman Empire. Do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, we have our gods. We have our religious system. Okay. Can I ask you this? How do you know if your gods love you? Well, he says, well, doesn't talk a lot about love. It just, you know, we know our gods are for us if they help us win our battles. Okay, very good. Here's a Greek. Oh, excuse me, sir. Can I, Greek, he's a philosopher. Can I ask you, do you believe in God? Oh, yes. How do you know if your God loves you? Oh, well, you know, our God doesn't say a lot about our gods loving us. It just says that in our holy books, it says that if, you know, our gods give us wisdom and our gods fight our battles and so on. Okay, very good. All right, you get where I'm going. You go down to Providence and you stop on Main Street. You stop somebody and go, hey, excuse me, do you believe in God? Yeah. How do you know God loves you? Oh, well, you know, well, that means that I have everything I need and all materially that I need. And that I have health and wealth and that he gives me my provision. There's a real problem with that. That the average Christian sitting in a church today doesn't see a single problem with defining God's love that way still. Well, if God loves me, Pastor, he'll, you know, and I don't, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said to me, I have faith that God's going to come through and do this for me. He's going to heal me. So does that mean then when he doesn't heal you, he doesn't love you? Because there's a lot of people God's not healing and are dying. Oh, no, if God loves me, Pastor, he's going to meet my material needs. See, that's a real problem. Because when he doesn't come through for you financially, and there's a lot of people on the planet right now that literally died yesterday of hunger and they didn't have what they needed, does that mean God doesn't love them? Oh, no, Pastor, you know what that means? That means he fights my battles. What does that mean? Because I don't know about you, I spent a lot of time feeling like I didn't really win, if you will, in life this week. Does that mean God doesn't love me, doesn't love you when you don't overcome, if you will? See, we've got a very human and pagan definition of who God is and what God does. And all of a sudden, there's a lot of people that God doesn't love by our definition. And this is why people get depressed and stay home and go, I tried, I went to church, and he just didn't come through for me. And the problem is we judge the love of God on a human level. You know, we're like that kid who goes to the store and he sees the toy that, you know, that spinning thing, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, you push the button and zzzz, you know what I mean? And mom's thinking, I bought you one last year. You broke it after 17 minutes. It cost me $99 for 17 minutes of short-lived pleasure. I'm not buying you one again. And he throws himself on the ground and he starts to pout and he says, I want one. If you love me, you'd buy this. And that's a child. That is an immature love. If you love me, you'd give me. Adult love says, no, I love you. That's why I'm not giving you. In fact, I love you and I'm going to give you a whooping when we get home. Some of you had to grow into that level of maturity in parenting. That was free. How do we know that God loves us? Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here's what I can tell you. When the news comes in and your loved one's dying, you can stop and you can say, my God loves me because he sent his son to die for me. And when you have a terrible week and it doesn't go your way and the guy you voted for doesn't get into office and when your business closes and you thought it would never happen, what just happened, you can stop and you can say, my God loves me. He sent his son and he died for me. Herein is love. Romans 5 verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he didn't look at you and say, I'm going to wait till you straighten yourself out. No. He knew that he'd never straighten yourself out unless the blood of his precious son was shed for you. And he sent him and he let him live a beautiful life and yet die a cruel, horrible, shameful death so that he could save you. And the Bible says that our God doesn't love us by making us rich. He loves us by making his son poor. He doesn't love you by giving you every victory in this life. He loves you. He loved you by treating his son like a cruel criminal and letting him die that way. How many of you understand? That is how we know our God loves us. Amen. We must stop this shallow. The cross is the proof. How can we show up in church and act like, oh, I just don't know if God loves me? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, Jesus said. Our Savior laid down his life for his enemies. We were enemies, the Bible says. John uses this word in verse number 10 to be the propitiation for our sins. What is that? What is propitiation? The Bible uses it in 1 John 2:2. He said, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John uses two analogies of God over and over again. One is, he says, God is light, light of the world, we heard it sung. And that's true. And then God is also love. Watch this. Propitiation means that over here, God can be light and be perfectly holy and have a perfect law and be just enough to never let you get away and look at you and say, I can't somehow allow them to break my law and yet me just kind of overlook it. And so some people have God in their heads over here as this old grandfather who's senile and, you know, sees his kids and grandkids getting, he lets them get away with everything. And then over here, we have this other extreme and we say, well, God is love, you know. And some people, that's their idea of God. He just, oh, he's love, so it doesn't mind. And I can do whatever, Pastor. I mean, don't be all wound up, right? And then there's this other side. There's God is, light over here. And so God is like this judge and he's demanding and he's judgmental. And he's like, what is wrong with you? And get it together, you know. And so some people have this God and some people have that God. Let me tell you what propitiation is. Watch this. Propitiation is what allows God to both be completely holy and demand that we keep his holy law, which says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Can I get a witness this morning? And it also is what allows God to be a God of love. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son at Christmas. That's what he did, so that he could live a perfect life and die a horrible death and meet, watch this, and satisfy his law. Propitiation is a complete payment. It is a satisfaction. It is what God did. Listen, it is the difference then. It's the bridge between God's light and holiness and God's love, the Bible says. It's what bridges it together. And somebody's sitting here and going, oh, yeah, I did that. I remember I went to church and I lit a candle and I dropped $20 and I did penance, Pastor. I did it. I paid that too. No, you don't understand. Penance, that's what you do. The Bible is very clear. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done because of our sin, friend. The Bible says the very best things we do, they're like filthy rags. But the Bible says this, but it's according to his mercy he saved us. Propitiation is what the Son of God did for your sin. That's what it is. And the Bible says he sent his son. That's Jesus meeting the just and holy demands of God's law and freeing God to allow him to love us, the Bible says. He can be holy and loving. He can be both judge and, the Bible says, and savior. A just and justifier, somebody wrote. People say, I don't know if God loves me. Friend, listen, you can know that God loves you this morning because the Bible says he sent his son and through his son. Verse 7 tells us, let us love one another. Love is of God and everyone that loveth is born of God. You say, I already knew that God sent his son. Let me ask you, what have you done about it? Have you accepted God's son? Have you put your faith in him as the propitiation for your sins? It's the only rightful payment. If you've never done that, the Bible says your sins aren't paid for. You're lost. Friend, I'm here to tell you that's the bad news. The good news is, you don't have to leave lost. If you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ today, you can be saved. How many of you are thankful for that truth? He loves us. So, God is love. That's who God is. Number two, what God did is he sent his son. How many of you are glad he sent his son? Now, if you're here and you're going, you know what? I did, Pastor, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice number three, Here's what God is doing now in us. God is perfecting our love. That's verses 11 through 18. Now, I want you to read with me real quickly. Notice in verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected, matured, grows up in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Now let's break this down for a minute. There's two important words I want you to notice. In verses 12, the word dwell. In verses 13, again, the word dwell. "Hereby we know that we dwell in him." Verses 15, it says that God dwelleth in him. In verses 16, "He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." Notice all the times the word dwell appears. That's the same word abide in the New Testament. Remember when Jesus, chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John said, "Abide in me. And if I abide in you and you abide in me," he said, as the branches. And then there's a second verse word that we read there. It's the word perfected. Notice in verse number 12, it says it very clearly. "No man has seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Notice in verse 17, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect." There, our love is made perfect. Now, listen to this real carefully. The Bible says very carefully, before you're saved, you're selfish only. That's all you can be. But after you're saved, the Bible says, watch this, you can be selfless. Before you're saved, the Bible says you have greed. But now the Bible says after you get saved, you can have generosity. Before we get saved, Titus calls us hateful. But now we get saved, the Bible says, now we have what the Bible calls kindness, the loving kindness of God. When that comes in, the Bible says it's because something specific happens. You say, well, what makes the difference? Because when somebody gets saved, they become a new creature. Specifically, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God comes into them. The Bible speaks of that here in verse 13. Would you read it? "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his" what? Spirit. Not a what, a who, a his Spirit. The third person of the Trinity. Notice how Paul says it in Romans 5 and verse 5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is in us." I think I had a cup over here. I don't know if I did. And that's a dumb illustration. But let's just say you're here and you're going, you know, Pastor, here's the problem. I wasn't raised that way. I just didn't have, you know, my dad wasn't just real sentimental. And, you know, and you, if you had a cup here, it was empty. You'd say, you know, my cup is empty. I wasn't born that way. I'm Irish. You know what I mean? I'm, you know, whatever you're, you know, everybody's got one, right? Why I can't love like that. I'm just not that mushy. I'm just not that way, you know. I'm not like you, Pastor. You know, people tell me all the time, I'm not like you. I don't get all emotional about stuff. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, very good. But here's the problem. If you're saved and you're a Christian, that's baloney. See, the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says, has been poured out in you. When you got saved, watch this. Here was your empty cup of love. And God came a love and he filled it up to the top. The love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Say that with me. By the Holy Ghost. See, my spirit, the Bible says, isn't naturally loving. But God makes you a new creation. You become like God. And now, watch this. We experience God's love. I wish you understood. Love isn't a theological truth. Love is an experience. It's something that you need to allow God to put in your hearts. Galatians 4 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent for the Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Watch this. In verse 6, he says, this is the reason. "And because ye are sons," he says. Watch this. God sent his Son. We talked about that. But now that you're saved, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. So this whole passage, verses 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, tells us that we have God in us and that you can have love in, you have love in you. Listen to me. It's not this thing where all of a sudden you're going, well, I just wish I had love, but I just don't. Sorry. You know, people sit in my office and go, you know, I just don't know how to love this woman. You know what I mean? And I don't know how to love him, Pastor. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know how. I just can't. You know, I just... And we think of Christmas as an event, but listen to me. Christmas is an experience. The Bible is very clear. God has sent his Son's Spirit into your heart. And the Bible says, because he lives, God, who is love, lives in me. Now the Bible says, I am a new creature. You are, the Bible says, watch this, in you, there is this fellowship with God. That's what 1 John talks about all the time. And because you have this fellowship, because he dwells in you and you in him, listen, all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit can make you love. You are loved, the Bible says, because God lives in you. Now all you have to do is allow that love to be perfected. Mature. Grow up. 1 John 4:12. It says very clearly, do you see it? No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. In other words, God, the Bible says this is what happens. The Bible says as you grow in your relationship with God, Christians, do you realize that as you grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to be more loving all the time? Now, friends, listen to me. I've had people tell me all the time, Pastor, pray for me that I can have more faith. Pray for me that I can have more love. Pray for me that I can have more money. Pray for me that I can have more wisdom. Pray for me that I can have more business. I've never had anybody come to me and say, Pastor, would you pray that I can have more love? And yet, it's what God says is the greatest mark of your maturity. We need to mature into an adult love, not this pagan, shallow, God loves me because he does something. How is love perfected? Watch this. By abiding. Verse 12, dwell. Verse 14, dwell. Verse 16, dwell. Jesus used that word, abide, in chapter 14 and 15 of John. Abide. That means fellowship. See, where there is relationship, there is connection. Time together. Where there's relationship, there's communication. Where there's relationship, there's communion. Where there's relationship, the Bible says, watch this, you live together. You spend time together. If I'm a good friend of yours, that means we've spent time together. If you have a good friend, you spend time with each other. That's what it means. Watch this. Don't overthink this. This isn't a religion class. This is a relationship. And I'm just here to tell you every single Sunday, hey, dwell, spend time with your God. Walk with him. Notice how we mature, how our love is perfected. Folks, this is very simple. Flip over to 1 John chapter 2. Flip the page in verse 5. The first way is, the Bible says, through the word of God. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Folks, this is an amazing truth. The Bible says, you will grow in love as you keep the word of God. It is an amazing thing to me still. Here we are, 2023, 2,000 years later. How many problems have been caused in religion. Most religions exist because people don't read the Bible. Most problems in most hearts exist because people don't heed the Bible. Most of the problems in my life exist because I'm not heeding the Bible. And I'm still amazed as a pastor how few Christians read their Bible. I mean, there's time for television, social media, phone calls, whining, complaining, arguing, fighting, working, working, working. Listen, folks, I'm just going to make it as plain as I can. You can't abide in him. You can't know him if you don't spend time with him. The Bible is the way that God talks to you. If you never open it, God never talks to you. Over and over again, the Bible talks about abiding. Study everywhere where 1 John talks about the word dwell, 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 dwell. Listen, you dwell with the brethren. You stop, the Bible says, you don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. It's an amazing thing in 1 John how it says, you stop coming to church, watch this, you get away from the Lord. You get away from the Lord, you get closer to sin. I mean, it's just not that complicated, folks. I'm just here to tell you, you know, people go, oh, well, why should I be in church? I can worship God out there and at the beach, you know, just as good as I can worship him in God's house. There's only one problem with that. It's not true. The Bible says you got to spend time with God. You got to make time for his word. You got to make time, the Bible says, for the preaching of it. It's an amazing thing. You can't abide with him. If you never listen to God talk to you, you'll never know him. If you don't know him, you'll never know his love. If you don't know his love, listen, you'll be insecure. You'll be defensive. And, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, your wife will say one thing and then you'll just snip back. And all of a sudden, here we go, baby. It's World War III all over a stupid thing on the floor. We never understand all the defensiveness and all the insecurity that is bred because you never sit down and let God look at you and go, do you realize how much I love you? Amen. You are my beloved son. Everything that's true of Jesus is true of you in my heart. You don't need to prove anything to me. I love you. I live in you. Trust me. Folks, would that change your days? I think it would change our days. Abide in his word. Number two, abide in his spirit. Go back to 1 John 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his spirit. His spirit, his Holy Spirit. I told you in our last series, walk in the spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me ask you, are you filled with the spirit? He's saying the spirit of God takes the word of God that you've read, and the Bible says throughout the day, perfects the love of God in your life. And let me tell you something. It's awesome, because then somebody says something and slights you, and all of a sudden you just don't respond. And then, you know, an hour later you go, hey. And it's amazing how you start to look like Jesus, who in Isaiah 53, the Bible says, when he was reviled, reviled not. And remember when they had those nails right through his wrist, right through that nerve, and they're pounding. And the Bible says, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And all of a sudden, love isn't about getting a really fat Christmas present for somebody. Love looks like praying for your enemies. See, we have so much baby love in church, we got to grow up. The Bible says that happens as we're yielded to his spirit. People, so many times, you know, we tell on ourselves, well, you know, Pastor, I'd come to growth group, but it's just not me. I just don't feel like it's just like, you know, it's just, I just don't know that I like it. See, that's immature. It's all about you, isn't it? Oh, well, you know, I'd go soul winning, but I just don't like it. I'm just not that guy. I'm just not, that's just not me. Oh, it's about you, isn't it? See? We got to grow. You say, what happens, Pastor, when Christians mature in their love? It rocks their world. Can I give you just four real quick things here in these passages that I see really fast? Here's the first one. Ready? They manifest the love of God. Notice in verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. He says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Do you know what he's saying? You know, no one's seen God, he said. Now, you say, oh, no, people see Jesus. They did, and he showed up, and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But watch this. Nobody's seen him since. Do you know what they see in the world now? They ought to see Christians who love like Jesus loved. See, remember, loving like Jesus doesn't mean you like everybody and you treat, you know, everybody the same. No. It doesn't mean you got to go to lunch with everybody in the church and you got to, you know, make an appointment. No. That's not, this, we'll go on vacation together. No, that's not what it means. You know what it means? That you treat everybody else like Jesus treated you. And if somebody slights you, guess what? You forgive them like Jesus forgave you. And if somebody offends you, guess what? You forgive them like Jesus forgave you for offending him. Are you all with me this morning right now? And people look and go, that's different. See, you begin to look like Jesus. Notice what else happens when you mature in love. You know God's will. You have assurance of God's will. Notice in verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him. Listen, there is something that happens when you get to know the Lord. As when you abide in his spirit and when you abide in his word, do you know what happens? People look at you and all of a sudden they think, he looks like Jesus. And the other thing that happens is you know what he loves. My wife loves me. She has an incredible love for me. I sometimes wonder why. I'm serious. She's a blessing. She loves me in a Christ-like way. She got me something this week and she gave it to me and I was like, I like that. I said, where'd you get that for me? She goes, because I knew you'd like it. She knows me better than I know me. You know why? She loves me. Listen, you don't have to pray about as many things all of a sudden when you love the Lord. See, you have an assurance of God's will. It's amazing how you know what he wants. Number three, you love the children of God. Verse 16 tells us that we love the saints. It's amazing. Some people think, oh, well, if I get all godly, Pastor, listen, here's the thing. You don't understand my world that I live in. And if I became a godly man who never cussed and never was like, you know, the man, you know what I mean? And over there at the job, listen, all of a sudden, I just couldn't relate to as many people. See, that's where you're fooled. See, when you become like Jesus, you actually attract a lot more people to you. It's amazing. You know, when the love of God is perfected, you can have fellowship with just about anybody. Number four, you share the love of God. Verse 18 says it this way, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Folks, do you think there's any afraid people in the world today? Folks, there's so many people in fear, I'm telling you. And there's nothing wrong with having a proper reverence for God, like as in, you know, having a reverence for the Lord. But as we mature in love, the Bible says, first of all, you don't live in fear, because why would you live in fear? Now, I'm not worried about yesterday because God forgave it. He loves me. I'm not worried about today because God is with me today. I'm not worried about tomorrow because God's the same. And no matter what he brings, it's all for my good. You say, well, what if it's bad? Listen, there are things that somebody may do. Somebody may slight me tomorrow. And guess what? That's going to hurt. But guess what? I also can trust this. That's God's will for me. I didn't say it was God's will for them. But if I'm afflicted, even if I suffer, the Bible says, why should I fear what man could do unto me? Listen to me. When you abide in love, it's amazing. The perfect love casts out fear out of your heart. And then guess what? You begin to share it with other people. Why? Because you don't want them to live in fear. You want people to know about your Jesus. You want them to come to Christmas Eve. You say, hey, man, come. Listen, I know you're afraid. Listen, I know you're worried. But this is what you need. The Bible says if you're saved, you've experienced his love. It's amazing. This is a week all about us trying to get other people to understand the love that God has for them. When you're out of fear, then guess what? All of a sudden, I can reach out to you because, you know, that's just true. I mean, everybody I talk to that in Rhode Island and in New England that's rejected, alone, depressed, you know, hermits, let me tell you what they are. They're people who've isolated and insulated themselves, and they're afraid to step out because they feel like, I can't serve, I can't help anybody, I'm just going to hunker down, and you know, I'm not going to reach out to others. And let me tell you something, that is the problem. The Bible says when you step, all of a sudden, when you experience the love of God, you lose the fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. Now I don't have to, you know, isolate and insulate myself like so many people do. Now I can let people into my world. I'm not afraid. Now notice, that's what God's doing. He's perfecting our love if you're saved. Now notice what God wants us to do. He wants us to love one another. John in 1 John over and over again would share a truth. Then with the truth, he would share you know, that God was love. And with that love, then he would share what God wanted us to do. So here it is. God wants us to love one another. Notice in verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. It's an amazing thing, the intricate connection there is between, watch this, God, my love growing in God, the Bible says, and being perfected, and my ability to love other people. It's just an amazing thing. So the Bible says here, you need to learn, the Bible says that what you must do about love is you need to love one another. And it's not love in the abstract. He said, don't say it. No, listen, stop it. We Christians love to talk in America about love in the abstract. You know, C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters said to Wormwood, the demon who was tormenting this Christian, he said, oh, let him love people in the abstract, but don't let him love them in particular. We love to think of ourselves as loving people. In the Peanuts cartoon, Linus says, I love mankind, it's people that I can't stand, he says. We sing about love. We love to have an experience at church and leave and think, oh man, I just love God. But when it comes to carrying a burden, visiting a widow, sharing the gospel, serving in a ministry team, I mean, actually loving people, oh, we don't have time for that. Christian love he's talking about here is not sentimental. It's God's love. Active, sacrificial, real, uncomfortable. It pays a price. It doesn't do only what's comfortable. It doesn't do it through an app. It doesn't pay somebody to do it. It's actually somebody who goes and gets involved in the life of others. Let's just be honest today. Who would you love this week? We Christians, we love to be like, oh, I'm praying for that. And we insulate and isolate ourselves in our ivory towers of houses, and we want to act like, And God says, no. It's not abstract. And number two, it's not in word. Do you see it there in verse 19? If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother. Over and over again, John just got to the point. He's like, if a man say, If a man say, he was like, listen, Christianity is not a talking religion. The Bible is clear in the book of Proverbs, where words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Well, pastor, I just let it fly. Well, you shouldn't. Well, I just speak my mind. Well, you don't have that much to spare. I don't know if you should be doing that all the time. Just give my mind. Well, don't do it, man. Listen, most of us need to do a lot less talking and need to start doing a little more thinking and a lot more doing. We substitute words for deeds over and over again. If we say we have no sin, he said. And now he says, if we say we love our brother, people say, Let me just let John preach it to you. You know John 3:16. Look at 1 John 3:16 and we're done. Are you ready? Look at right there, page before. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoso hath this world's good, and let me just pause right now and tell you that by most people's standards in this world, they would look at our congregation, if not all, just about all of you here, and would say, you are materially rich. If you have more than one bedroom in your house, more than one car, you know, in your possession, if you have, you know, actually the ability to take a vacation every year, I'm just being honest right now, let me just bring it down to your level. You have more than about 90% of the people in this planet. There's people that didn't have enough to eat yesterday. And so I'm just here to say, I don't know who else this is speaking to, but I know it's us. Verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwell the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How many of you think we need a revival of love in America? We need a revival of love in our church. And so many of you are growing and being challenged because you're abiding in Christ and you're abiding in his spirit. You're abiding in his word, and it's just natural. All of a sudden you're going, I need to love God. I need to love other people. You're learning, this isn't about me. Your love is being perfected. But you know, folks, life's a school. One of these days, God's going to get you up there and he's going to say, okay, you started at this grade, and then I gave you 70 years after you got saved, or 30 or 10, doesn't matter. And he's going to go, How'd you go? How many grades did you progress? How did you grow in love? Some of us, I think he's going to say, you know, I gave you my love, but you never perfect, that never matured. We need to learn what love is. God is love. We need to learn what God did. God sent his son. Christmas is just another moment. If nothing else, it should make you somebody who understands God loves me. What's God doing? Friends, he's perfecting his love in you. He wants us to grow. And what God wants you to do is he wants you to love others. The Bible says before God, Jesus came, we were dead. Then Jesus comes in our hearts, we have life. Before Jesus comes, we're selfish. After Jesus comes, we can be selfless. Before Jesus comes, we're greedy. After he comes, we can be generous. It's amazing how the saved can hold so many grudges. It's amazing how people who say they love Jesus can take little things and blow them up. When the Bible says that we ought to take big things and look over a multitude of sins, make them small. It's amazing how people who say they love God and come to church for decades still promote cliques, still run out the door, never talk to anybody, never wonder, never ask. Never let the Holy Spirit lead them into, who could I serve? It's amazing how little growing up there is in love. God help us to mature in our love. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, we love you today because you first loved us. Lord, forgive us even at times when we give the right message in the wrong motive. When we're doing the right ministry without the right heart. Lord, when we give and go and do, you go beyond the action. You want our hearts. I'm afraid, love, that, Lord, that many of us have come short. We repent today. We ask, God, that you'd help us to actually love in truth, for real. There's a lot of self-love in the world, and it's obvious it's permeated so many of our lives. We're in love with ourselves. We're in love with our world. We're in love with us. Forgive us, Jesus. Lord, would you please mature us, perfect your love in us, make us like you. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Dear Christian, if you know Jesus came and you've received and accepted his gift of salvation, but today you would just say like this, you know, Pastor, God's challenged me today. I need the love of God in me to be perfected through Spirit and through his word. That's obvious. I need to grow. Would you just be honest before God? Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. That's me. That's, yeah. God bless you. That's me. My hand's up, folks. My hand's up. And I want to encourage you. Can I just ask you, would you just make your way to an aisle and make your way to this altar and just say, Lord, make me like you. He lives in you. As you surrender to his control, you'll be like Jesus. Friend, it's not trying. Just let that mature in your heart. Just come, wherever you are, just come right up. You say, I gotta love people. I gotta love God. Pastor, I don't love like Jesus did, that's for sure. What would your wife say? What would your husband say? What would your children say? Can I encourage you? Just come and just say, Lord Jesus, I want to be like you. God is love. And he wants to perfect that in your heart. Can I ask you this question, friend? Are you saved? Do you know 100% that you're going to heaven? God sent his son. He loves you. He came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died on a cruel cross. And today he offers you eternal life. It's already been paid for. Jesus Christ was the propitiation. But you've got to accept that perfect gift. Will you do it today? Will you trust him? Will you put your faith in the Lord Jesus? If you've never done that, this is going to be the day. You don't have to wonder or you have to wait. Just right now say, Jesus, I trust in you. I put my faith in you, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive my sins. I repent. Give me your life, Lord. I love you. Lord, save me today. Would you put your faith in Jesus? Just pray a prayer. Simple prayer. It's the beginning of a relationship. The Bible says if you'll do that, you'll become a son of God right now. The Holy Spirit of God will live in you, and he'll begin to change you from the inside out. You become a new creature. But you've got to ask him right now. Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Be my Savior. Let me ask you this. Have you ever done that? How many of you would say, I've done that, Pastor. I'm saved. I know it. Here's my hand, my testimony. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. God bless you. You put your hand down. Who here you'd say, you know what? I just prayed that prayer, Pastor Carlos. I just asked Jesus right now to come into my heart, forgive my sins. Would you pray for me? Can I pray with you? I just want to just pray with you. Anybody here? I just prayed, asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Be my Savior, forgive my sin, be a Christian. Father, we come, we pray. Lord, make us like you. We want to be like you, Lord. Father, help us to love so that we may know you and so that we may love our fellow men, so that we will manifest your love all around us. May people see Jesus in me. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed you. We've done it in our own strength. We've made a mess of marriages, churches, division, Lord, all around. And Father, that's what the world has. And it seems like we get no different because we're not abiding and perfecting. Your love is not being perfected in us. Forgive us, O God. Grow us, Lord. Make us like you. Help us to love this week. May we every day surrender, Lord, to you. Help us to abide in your word. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.
We'd like to thank you for listening to today's message. If you made a decision to trust Christ, we'd love to know that and send you some resources that you can use to continue your new relationship with God. If you'd like prayer, you can call us at 401-231-4796 or email us at prayer@gribt.com. You can connect with us through social media or our website at gribt.com. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you.